Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 584, Making Barvo, recorded live on June 6th, 2017. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, The Storm.
I am your co-host, Godzilla T.
And this week, we have a special guest with us, kind of breaking the mold of not having a guest on for quite some time. Probably, if we want to technically think about it, maybe back to the Halo World Championship, where we did some interviews, and then we had some people on afterwards talking about the results of that, but it's been a little bit of a lack of news lately, so we figured we'd start bringing some people on. So this is our first of a lineup of guests that we have for the summer section, and it is Carrie Lee. He is the head of... I guess you are the head. I'm not sure if this is exactly right, but Starside Armory. And he is the mastermind behind creating the real-life Barva helmet. So welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Well, thanks for coming on. So is Starside Armory, is that just you, or is that kind of a collection of Halo cosplayers?
It's mostly my brother and I. So when he decided he wanted to start making things and kind of building a portfolio, because he does some of the same stuff that I do, a lot of the times they tell you to kind of get a portfolio together and have a kind of an Instagram handle for all your stuff, and that isn't your social life too. So he's came to me one day and was like, all right, so for all the stuff that we make, let's make an Instagram handle for ourselves. And we made it a couple of years back, and we've been lucky enough to have some followers and some people that dig the stuff that we make.
Awesome. And I think we have probably one of the more important people digging the stuff that you make with the Barva helmet. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But what we like to do with all of our guests who are on the show for the first time is get a little bit of Halo history. So tell us how you got interested in Halo in the first place and what it is that you are most invested with in Halo now.
Oh, man. So back when I must have been around 10. My dad actually ordered a printer, and that printer came with a video game demo, and it was a video game demo of Marathon 2 Durendal, which was the second in the Marathon trilogy. And if you guys don't know what Marathon trilogy is, it was a PC first-person shooter by Bungie. Not their first, but one of their first. And it has some really, really strong correlations to Halo. The whole Space Marine, the whole, you know, alien races and stuff, and a collection of different alien races all coming together. And I was young, so I didn't necessarily understand it that well, but I enjoyed playing it. When the third one came out, which I think was called Marathon Infinity, I got that for the PC and then, you know, played that to my heart's desire for a couple years until finally the Xbox was coming out. And I had been a big fan of Bungie and everything they made up to this point, and started hearing about the Project Halo that was coming out. And I remember seeing it thinking, this is kind of like a modern version of Marathon, because Marathon was pretty long ago. It was somewhere in the 90s where they didn't have that many voice actors. Everything was kind of done on like chapter screens and text and stuff. So I was kind of looking forward to a more modern version of Marathon. And I bought an Xbox when it came out. I think I was in eighth grade and instantly loved it. I loved the voice acting. I loved the characters, the aliens. I was getting into art at the time, so all the creature designs and all the weapon designs really resonated with me, and it was a lot more interesting to me than like some of the World War II games coming out. I think like the original Call of Duty was out around the same time and stuff, so it was way more exciting than that. And when this is kind of makes this all sound old, but this is kind of like when like YouTube videos even started getting popular, and when like the Halo 2 trailer came out, and I was blown away by that on my dial-up connection, you know, waiting 5 minutes for it to actually buffer. I started getting really invested into the series, and around the time that Halo Reach It came out, so it'd been a few more titles, a few more games, you know, 2, 3, ODST, and then Reach came out, was about the time that I went to my first San Diego Comic-Con with my friend, and I was living in San Diego at the time. and I saw a bunch of Halo costumes and was like, well, I already love the games. I love the company, and Halo Reach had quickly became one of my favorites. And I saw a bunch of costumes and decided one day that I was going to make my own. So that was kind of my, that's kind of my introduction into Halo. And also I actually accidentally segued it into how I got into making costumes for Halo. But yeah, that's kind of a quick history of how I got into it.
That's a pretty, I guess, kind of far back look into it. I don't think there've been many guests that we've had on the show that actually have got their Halo start through coming into it through Marathon.
Yeah, I'm always impressed when people know what Marathon is. Just, I mean, for me, it's just, I was even so young that I'm glad I remember it. And then I know a couple of years ago it actually got ported to the Xbox Arcade, and I was like, I hope this makes it more popular, and it was great to play it again and stuff, and I hope that more people got to play it. But yeah, it was, ever since my dad bought that printer and it came with a free game demo that I thought was a running simulator, I was like, Marathon? That sounds pretty boring, but luckily my brother and I gave it a shot and have been in love with it ever since.
Yeah. There's a lot of, I guess, history behind how Bungie kind of went through all the stages. So I guess you're probably one of our guests that have the most Bungie history under their belt as far as kind of having that Marathon experience. So what was it like going from Marathon to Halo?
Yeah, going from Marathon to Halo was kind of a trip, because I was definitely at the age where things were very spectacular and new and shiny. And I had been doing a little bit of reading into how Halo was developed and stuff, and I was kind of interested in how video games had these amazing voice actors and stuff, because up until that point, I had been playing a lot of, like, StarCraft, for instance, and they had all these cool cutscenes and voice actors, so I was like, I really want to see what Bungie can do with a kind of a bigger scale of production. And so I had read a lot about Steve Downes, who is the voice of Master Chief, who was, up until that point, I think he was just like a radio DJ, and still is actually a radio DJ in Chicago, and this just kind of fell in his lap. One of the Marines, for instance, Andy McKeague, I think is how you say his last name, is the very famous Australian Marine in the first three. He actually resides in my hometown and plays in a local band near where we grew up and stuff. So very recently, actually, we kind of reconnected with him and got a chance to have him on one of our panels about making armor, and he got to talking about his introduction to the whole thing. And one of the most interesting things to me, looking back at it, because now we think of Halo as a really big franchise, is that when they were making Halo 1, they had no idea that it was going to be big at all. And, you know, how could you, I guess? And we've had some fortunate opportunities. And about a year ago or so, my roommate and I got a drink with Steve Downes, the voice of Master Chief. And I was kind of asking him, I was like, hey, man, so, be honest, like, did you know this was going to be big? And he's like, I actually had no idea that it was going to be a thing until I was dropping my kid off at his birthday party. And I walked into the door and all the kids inside were like, oh my God, your dad is Master Chief, after they heard him talk, because it's more or less his normal voice. So it's really easily identifiable. But
yeah,
he had no idea that it was big. And it had already been out for months at this point. And, you know, if we're not too invested into, you know, the culture, you don't really know whether it did good or not unless you get called back for the next one. So at that point, he had no idea that it was big. It took off pretty well with the Xbox launch, and before you know it, he was getting a call for the next one. And same with our friend Andy, who was the Marine, and he got a call back, and none of them had expected really for it to go anywhere, because, you know, back then, even it's kind of a far-fetched plot line in a sense. You know, it's always hard to pitch sci-fi to, you know, mainstream. It for some reason, it's never going to do as well as, say, like, you know, the tried and true World War II games that were pretty prominent. So they were jazzed that it did as well as it did, and I'm glad they kept making them.
It sucks that Steve Downes isn't, I don't think he's actually a radio host anymore. I think he,
oh man, that's too bad.
Yeah, I think that was three or four years ago when he stopped doing that, which kind of sucks. Because the business card I had for him was for the radio studio, and there were a couple times where I tried to get him on, and then when I saw the announcement that he's no longer at the studio, I'm like, well, now I don't have a way to contact him if I want to get him on the show at any point in the future, but okay.
Maybe you can sneak him away for a Comic-Con or something. They seem to be pretty good at squirreling him away for the panels at Comic-Con.
Yeah, I have to find one that he's actually at.
Exactly.
Yeah, so how's all the stuff that you did with Halo back in the day and now, kind of how that translate into what you do now, which is 405th and creating Spartan outfits and Mjolnir suits and all that stuff.
I got kind of lucky. When I decided I wanted to start making costumes and stuff, I decided that I didn't want to do anything that was too easy. I didn't want to just... I wanted like a little bit of a challenge. And luckily, all of the Halo costumes and creatures and weapons and stuff are like incredibly intricate and detailed. And when I first started it, almost none of it you could go out and buy anything for it. And, you know, now there's a couple of those like Master Chief costumes you can buy and stuff that I don't think are quite the same. But when I first started getting into it, it was a great coincidence that one of the franchises that I loved had some really challenging designs and models and characters, and ones that I also thought looked really cool. And luckily I had kind of got into the game late enough that some people have tried it out and, you know, kind of wrote a bunch of lists of, you know, do this, but don't do this kind of thing. So had a little bit of direction in the form of online forums, such as the 405th and stuff. So it was kind of doing a lot of reading and then kind of just diving into it. So yeah, it mostly came about that I love the Halo franchise. And after going to, I think, 2 Comic-Cons, I looked at my now roommate JP and I was like, man, we can make some of these. These are cool. And I had a little bit of an art background at the time, so was kind of hoping that would translate somehow into fabricating. And luckily it kind of did, but I was just thinking in my head, well, you know, I know how to paint. If nothing else, at least I have a really slick paint job if it looks like crap. Luckily, it turned out that I've turned out some pieces of work that I'm pretty proud of and that have been used in a number of films and TV.
Oh, awesome. We'll have to get into that a little bit later down the road with the discussion with the Barbie helmet. But GT, do you have any questions before we jump into the new stuff?
No. He pretty much answered all the questions I had.
All right. Covering my bases.
He's on it.
Sorry for stealing the limelight there a little bit. News is a little bit light this week again. We don't have much going for Halo 5 news or Halo Wars 2 news. E3 is coming up next week. There will likely be some Halo announcements during the Xbox press brief. And depending on what's there, we'll probably see some stuff on the show floor. Maybe some new DLC stuff coming out for Halo Wars 2. It's kind of a little early to tell with how hush-hush Halo has been with what they're going to be showing off. We discussed a little bit last week on what we think or what we would like to see at E3. So if you guys are interested in what we're thinking about or looking forward to, then you can listen to last week's episode. But a couple of things from the Waypoint side of the community. They have released leaderboards for Halo 5 ranked playlists now. This comes after Halo Wars 2 getting their leaderboards. And this is just for ranked playlists. So no social, no customs. This is just for ranked. So that's your HCS, your team slayer, your team objective, all that kind of stuff. So if you're heavily into the competitive scene and are playing ranked very often and you're looking for leaderboards, which I think the leaderboards also do, I think they can do it with your friends. I know it's at least global, and I'm checking now to see if it's your friends or not. Actually, it doesn't look like you can. But you can sort it out by season. So this will go all the way back to 2016, or actually at the game launch when they were doing the preseason. You can see what the leaderboards were like back then. So if you're interested in that, it looks like it's the top 250 that are currently there. Or I guess that's if you go back, so never mind. So you can check that out. You can go to aka.ns/h5-leaderboards. That's your little shortcut to it. If you're interested in checking out who's leading on the matchmaking leaderboards over there. Also, Triple Team was this previous week's featured playlist in Arena. And 343 had a community play date yesterday. So anyone that was able to match up with them in matchmaking was able to get the 343 ice skins for their AR. I think this will be out until this coming weekend, where they'll probably do a new playlist. So if you are interested in the Triple Team. Chances are by the time you're listening to this, if you're downloading it, it's already changed over to the new playlist. Unfortunately, we don't really get much of a preview into it unless there's a community update, and there wasn't a community update this past weekend, so we don't know what's coming up this weekend. Sorry. The Rise of Atriox comic issue number one was released today. It was released for pre-orders today. So you can head on over to Dark Horse and pre-order the print edition of The Rise of Atriox. It is slated to come out on August 2nd. Retail price is $3.99. Are the digital prices the same, or are they like a dollar cheaper, GT?
I don't know. I think when buying the other comics, they were the same price or close to it.
So that'll be coming out on August 2nd of this year. And it is an anthology that kind of brings a little bit of background to Atriox, the Brute Leader from Halo Wars 2. It's a 5-chapter anthology, so it's going to be 5 different issues of comics. And that'll run through August and until probably... I'm assuming that they would probably come out every couple weeks or so. So probably through 2 or 3 months. Again, you can go ahead and pre-order that over from Dark Horse Comics website and check them out. That's all the official news that we have for this week. From the community side of things, not much going on there either. Last week we talked about the Installation 01 cinematic trailer. Halo Customs Battle Forge contest is still going on. The deadline is June 18th, which is 12 days from us recording this. There's also the 0117 Halo fan short film. It has 8 more days to go. It has 105 backers and only 6,250 out of 35,000 pledged. Not looking good.
Unfortunately, no.
It would be cool to see. It's kind of unfortunate, but just it doesn't seem like there's as much community interest in productions like this if they're really being slated for community support. It just doesn't seem like the community's there anymore, which is kind of sad. Because I feel that way about Machinima too, where there was so much emphasis on it back in the Bungie days, I guess. There's just not much emphasis on it anymore.
Thanks a lot, Rooster Teeth. Just kidding.
Well, they still do it. I don't think it's one of their top performing series, but they still do it. I think that's part of the whole contract with Microsoft and them being allowed to use their IP.
I love that series growing up, but yeah, I was actually kind of sad to see that it kind of took a backseat to their other productions, and maybe just nostalgically, I was hoping that somehow Red vs. Blue would go on forever as some great series, but I understand that times change. But man, I loved that series growing up.
There's some stuff that is... I like some of the plot development in it, I think, has been pretty clever, and some of the things that they've done with the animation has been a nice kind of refresh to some aspects of Red vs. Blue. But again, I think it's just you have the community that's just not as invested in that type of consumable media anymore. And it's unfortunate.
I agree. I mean, it's one of those things that you have a hard time explaining. What can you do, I guess, is kind of the unfortunate reaction to it. If people lose interest. But nostalgically, I'll always love it. And not just speaking biasly, since we were in one of the Red vs. Blue episodes.
Yeah, just an observation I had.
Yeah,
a couple of things from Reddit that I took note of this week. I didn't know this was a thing, but apparently it is. There's a community project called Project Cartographer, and it is a kind of a software mod to Halo 2 Vista that allows for split screen support.
Ooh.
On PC.
Ooh. I did not know that.
Yeah. The only tricky thing is that the patch that they do to the executable bypasses the license check. So I'm not sure how that works with online play, if you're playing on servers. But it is something that they're working to have four-player split screen. And the way they're doing it is that you launch separate instances of Halo 2. So it's not split screen in the sense of you're running one instance and you're being able to play Halo 2 in like a true split screen fashion. It's just running multiple instances of Halo 2 on the same computer.
Hey, whatever works, right?
Yeah. Some people will just kind of take however they can get it and go with it. So that's, if that's something that you're a niche audience of, then that's something that has been made working over this past week. And then another thing that I found was there's a Redditor that has started a Starships of Halo, I guess, kind of Imgur series, I want to call it. I'm not sure how to call it, but he has his first part up there, and it goes over the UNSC class of ships. And it looks like it's just a way of categorizing the ships that are in Halo that we've seen so far. This is kind of preluding, I think, what we're going to see with Halo Warfleet.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how much crossover there is from this kind of community blog post and what's coming in Warfleet. But it has a little bit of history into what each class of UNSC ship was used for. It calls out some iconic ships. So it starts off with the smaller ones. So the Charon class light frigate, then the Paris class heavy frigate, Stalwart class light frigate, heavy frigates, destroyers, and then you have cruisers, and then you also have the big Infinity one, which is the Marathon heavy class cruiser.
Yeah, name drop.
Yeah, no kidding. So that's everything that I've been able to curate from the past week in community news. And Colin Fowle is saying, me joining Spartan Saturday is community news. So, and I was...
That's about joining Fraggin' Fridays.
I did stop by for the Achieving Halo 2, though.
Yes, you did. And,
And I have a lot more appreciation for the work that you put into it.
It has its challenges. I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to edit that. We had a little issue.
Uh-oh.
Somebody got a little over happy about a ghost.
Yeah.
We won't mention who, but somebody got a little ahead of the rest of us.
You can blame the newbie here.
So we got to run a mission again. So I can make sure I get you all the achievements. But other than that, it was pretty good. It was still a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. And then after we were done, it was Alice's Pieces, me, Frogbutts, and someone else. Maybe Confel. We went and actually got some of the other campaign achievements. So now I only have two achievements left to get. Oh, Laird. Laird was there. So we got, I think, 6 or 7 of the other campaign-specific achievements.
Yeah.
So it was a good night. It was a long night. So, anyways, but yes, I have a whole lot more appreciation for the work that GT puts into Achieving Halo. And for everyone that has not been a part of Achieving Halo, it is a lot of work. I am really impressed by the work that GT's putting into it so far. Definitely check them out.
Well, let's put it this way. I'm not quite done with editing yet, but Reunion, which I did solo because of one of the achievements. Currently in the video project, there are 31 pieces. 31 individual pieces of media, whether it be audio.
Like video clips?
Video. Yeah. And I'm still gotcha. I still don't have everything in there.
Oh, jeez.
I'm almost there, but not everything's in there yet.
So we'll see it possibly this weekend.
Oh, I should have it. I should have it uploaded to YouTube Wednesday night or Thursday night.
Okay.
So it should be up by Saturday.
Yeah. I'll get it up on Friday probably. Cool. And we did, what's the one after reunion called? I forget. I'm blanking on the name.
You're not the only one. I'm blanking on the name now. Shoot.
Swords of Saints Helios.
Yeah, that's right.
Had to take me, man. I had to go through all the missions in order. So make sure you check that out on YouTube. GT puts a lot of time and effort into that. A lot more so, and I appreciate it a lot more now. That's the news wrap-up for this week, though. We'll see some stuff probably from E3 on Sunday out of the Xbox press brief to talk about and discuss. Scorpio news, Halo news, whatever else that is related to Halo or Xbox we'll probably talk about. Hopefully some Halo TV show news. I think
hopefully
this would be a prime, either at E3 or San Diego, I would like to see something Halo TV related.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would like something. I mean, it fit more at San Diego Comic-Con than it would at E3, but I want something.
I know. We need substance to chew on. True. 1, 2, 4, 3. So to the main part of our podcast tonight, Carrie.
Yes.
You were the, I've been calling you the project lead behind the Barva helmet. Is that a correct term to use?
I'd say that's roughly accurate. I kind of spearheaded the start of it and managed most of the major steps. And I can get into that shortly. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of people involved in it. Benedict and myself got the ball rolling on getting it actually started.
So just for a little background on the origins of the Barvo helmet, it actually was concepted by a person on Reddit, by Ryanfinity. And it was based off of some pictures of Andy Dudinsky, who was the community manager for 343 up until Sketch took over. He used to play in MLG, and he had caps that he'd wear backwards, mostly white, and he had these green gunners. So Rye took it upon himself to model what a helmet would look like based off of an image of Bravo back in his early MLG days. It kind of came to be a Halo community meme of sorts. And then this is where Carrie steps in and decides to actually build the thing in real life. So Carrie, you have a blog post about it over on your Blogspot blog that kind of goes into a little bit of the building process and how you make the molds and how you made the helmet. But what was the discussion like to actually take this concept that the community built and actually wanted to make this helmet for Bravo?
So, oh gosh, it must have been about 8 months ago now that Benedict, who is one of the heads of our Halo costuming group, we were kind of cruising around Reddit and we kept seeing this Barvo helmet pop up, and the first thing we saw actually was a sketch of it, and it was like, oh, that's kind of funny. You know, someone turned it into kind of a Halo-themed helmet for Andy, who at this point had already been pretty well involved with our Halo costuming group. He's done us a lot of favors as far as getting us tours of 343, holding some photo shoots for us. He always gets us kind of front rows at the San Diego Comic-Con panels and stuff, and really helps out in any way he can, and not just in a mutually beneficial way, but anytime that he has the power to kind of get us, you know, some kind of nice little nod to us, he usually does it, and he's been awesome to us. So we saw these pictures, we saw the model of it on Reddit, and I think actually I was the one who was kind of like, wouldn't it be cool if we made this for Andy one day? And we kind of looked at each other and thought, you know, well, we do have the resources. We have plenty of talented people. We have a 3D model that is apparently floating around somewhere. Like, let's say this, if we can get a hold of the 3D model, then we'll actually go through and go from there. I ended up tracking down the guys that had made the 3D model for the helmet and kind of told them, you know, hey, we're some Halo costumers, and Andy, who has actually been like, you know, really cool for us, we want to do him kind of a solid, and we think it'd be kind of a nice thing to make him this helmet that he has openly expressed kind of a delight for on Reddit. He always kind of chimes in when that thing pops up and says, you know, how cool is this helmet thing? Thanks for making this for me, guys. You know, it's cool that you guys, you know, are so involved in it. And the guy that had modeled it was more than happy to send me the model for it. And this is where it started its life, where it got sent to Jeremy Sloan up in Oregon, who I believe is part of Stony Props. And he has a big enough printer to kind of print the whole thing in not too many pieces. So I have a 3D printer, but it's got a pretty tiny print bed. So I'd be printing 30 pieces of a helmet, and that would just be kind of a nightmare to put together. So, if you want me to kind of go into it briefly, I can tell you how many cities it went across, because it started in Oregon. It got printed. It got sent to me in San Francisco at the time. And I'm pretty good at mold making, but there is a gentleman by the name of Sean Thorson, who is over up at Thorson and Associates, who runs a very, very nice prop shop in Petaluma. And I had been kind of lending days to him, where I'd come up and help him at the shop and said, you know, I know you like doing kind of video tutorials and stuff of molding, and would you mind awfully kind of going through with me for molding this helmet, because I don't want to just give Andy a printed helmet, because if you guys know anything about, if the listeners know about 3D printing stuff, it's a little brittle, you know, it can break pretty easily. And we'd always kind of imagined ourselves making more than one and printing more than one and kind of getting it ready is just kind of unrealistic. So molding and casting is kind of the process of making a rubber negative of whatever you want to make tons of, and then making plastic copies of it. At this point, I brought the 3D printed helmet up to Sean Thorson's shop. We did this whole preparation process of kind of, you know, sanding it, adding little details to it, and getting it ready to get a giant silicone rubber jacket. We got it all on video, and we unfortunately haven't had a chance to edit the video and put it online yet, but there was plenty of pictures in the build log that I put up. Got it all full of silicone. The next day I went up, we pulled the silicone off of it and poured some liquid plastic into that mold to see how well of a job we did molding it. And we had our first Barva helmet. And at that point, I was actually already in the middle of moving down to LA, which is where I am now. And luckily, we finished up the Barva casting about a day before I moved. So I threw it in my moving van and moved down to LA to kind of finish it off, where I took the cast that we had. So we had a bunch of kind of blank gray plastic Barva helmets. I gave it a nice paint job. I tried to do an homage to the original sketch, where they kind of kept the green kind of gunner glasses as the visor, and the kind of white, black, and gray scheme that was in the picture where Andy was wearing kind of a black and white hat, had some gray accents. So we went with that paint scheme, and then another one of our buddies in the Halo costuming group, Jose Valdez, and Armory Props, who lives down in the LA area, does really good lit visors. And what better way to get nice green gunner glass looking, you know, visor than to bring it on down to Jose when it was ready? We cut out the visor hole. He was gracious enough to add a plastic visor with a really nice backlit LEDs with the whole hexagonal pattern like you see in the Halo 4 and 5 helmets. Got it ready for me the day before the Halo Championships, where a couple of the higher-ups in 343 were kind of planning to reveal it to Andy, since he was not aware this thing was being made over the past like 6 months. So we got it done the day before, brought it to the Halo Championships, and hopefully you guys have seen the video of me revealing it to him, where he got to see the look on his face of, you guys actually took this thing that started as a sketch, then went to a 3D model, and then you've turned it into this thing that I can now wear. So I got a kick out of giving it to him. You know, he was appreciative, and I think he kind of understands that the stuff he does for us doesn't go unnoticed. And so we were more than happy to do it. It was also a fun time. Like, I love building things, and it was kind of my first foray into building a Halo thing that doesn't actually really exist. And there's been a lot of running jokes now that Andy's been trying to get the guys at 343 to include this helmet into the game now. So we'll see if it actually happens.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that banter go back and forth over like some Reddit posts, or just kind of in hearing people talk about it. So seems like it could very well make its way into another Halo game at some point.
I really hope so. You know, I don't have a huge understanding of just how complicated it is to add something like that, but I hope that the manpower gets shoved around to make this thing happen, because it would be, you know, the ultimate nod to not just the community, but to Andy, who had done quite a lot for C4S3 and still is doing a lot for them. So hopefully, you know, the stars will align and this thing will get made into their game model.
Yeah. And Ericibu in the chat points out that the helmet is actually canonical, because Grimm did make a little write-up about the helmet in one of the community updates.
Yeah, well, it was one of the running things that we had after we pitched it to 343, saying, you know, this is, we pitched the idea a few months back, and they said, you know, if you guys keep us posted and you guys are actually serious about going through with this, we'll make sure to kind of give it a little bit of some lore when we actually reveal it to Andy, and we'll definitely put it into community update. So I was pretty tickled to see that it actually made it into the community update and got a nice laugh after reading it and getting, you know, kind of seeing a little bit put behind the work that we had done for it. So it was kind of cool to see that.
Well, and 343 really does appreciate the costuming group for Halo. I think that's been one of the big things that has been very prevalent, at least for the time that I've been involved with the Halo community, is just how much they appreciate the fans going out of their way to make these costumes and the props that you guys make, the helmets, and showing up to conventions like PAX, San Diego Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con, and all these other places. It's just really, it really brings the franchise to life, and I think that's probably one of the more visible ways that the community really contributes to it. So they're almost kind of endowed to make sure that you guys are well taken care of.
When I the first year I wore a Halo costume to Comic-Con, and some of the 343 people kind of were, this was one of the first like photo shoots we did. They were like, you know, let's get a photo shoot of you guys. And before I really thought about it, I was like, oh, you know, it's kind of not necessarily gimmicky, but you know, we're essentially like free marketing for them. You know, they're kind of just a gank in our chain. But once they started doing a lot of like really big favors for us that they definitely didn't need to do, and it became more of like just like a really friendly relationship, I got to realize that they do in fact really appreciate us. And you know, they don't ask us to do anything that we don't want to do in the first place. You know, every time that they've got anything for us, you know, whether it be like, you know, like, hey, would you guys mind showing up for the panel and stuff, you know, people get a kick out of it. Like, we're more than happy to do. And like I said, it's just been a really fun mutual relationship with some of the Kiki Wolfkill and Frank O'Connor and all the people that are usually the kind of spearheading the convention events are so friendly to us and are always, you know, making sure that we've got everything we need. And like you were saying, like they kind of go out of their way to kind of take care of us, you know, and even for like the E3 thing, that they're setting up a whole room for us to kind of, you know, get dressed and stuff, making sure we've got everything that we need. So they definitely don't take advantage of the fact that like we love it as much as they do. It would be very easy for a company to, you know, kind of like, you know, yank us around, be like, come to this event and, you know, kind of forget about us, you know, do whatever it is. But they've been nothing but outstandingly, you know, polite and very generous when it comes to dealing with us. And we're not an easy deal, easy bunch to deal with. You know, we need a lot, and we're always complaining about overheating in our suits and stuff. And so they're always bringing us water and making sure we've got cool places to sit. So we're like children in a lot of ways, but they do a good job of taking care of us.
So one of the distinct things about this helmet that I don't think we really see any other helmets from the 405th or any other Halo cosplaying is the lit visor. So when did that idea come into play for having this included? And can you actually see through it?
You can actually see through it. Well, luckily, the LEDs are, if I'm trying to think of a good way to kind of, let's see, if you're looking through a window, pretend the window is really thick and pretend the window is, the thickness is lined with LEDs that are all kind of just pointing inwards. So none of the LEDs are pointing in at your eyes or necessarily away from you to blind other people. They're all kind of just pointing at the visor. So luckily, it just kind of gives a nice glow to the visor and doesn't point straight into your eyes, which is a problem I have with some of my other helmets that do actually, unfortunately, have the LEDs kind of pointing at my eyes, and that's a whole other problem. But that actually came about when Jose was kind of experimenting with making lit visors, whether it was for some of the Halo visors that he makes or some of the Destiny ones I know he makes. So he's been kind of toying around with it, and that was part of the kicking around idea, where we were like, you know, we can make this thing actually look like a, you know, a green backlit visor, and I think it would look really good. And like you were saying, it hasn't really been implemented in a lot of our costumes. Both my Mickey and my Emil suit don't have backlit visors, I think, by design, since they're from the older games. But for, you know, some of the 4 and 5 helmets could certainly, you could make the argument that they look like they're backlit in the game. So it was cool to kind of showcase a little bit of maybe, like, not necessarily new technology, but something that maybe the Safer 3 guys haven't really seen from us yet. Yeah, I'm glad that someone noticed that it was definitely a new technique that we had kind of showcased, and I was glad it worked out, because we were panicking that the wiring wasn't working the morning of, but luckily my buddy Ian and I got it sorted out about an hour before we gave it to Barbo or to Andy.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think it was a nice touch to it. And it was interesting whenever he put it on, just his reaction to it. If you guys haven't watched the video yet, you definitely should. Was it posted up? I can't remember whose channel it got posted up to. Was it just your channel, or was it the 405th YouTube channel as well?
I think it got posted just up on maybe his personal YouTube. I ended up re-uploading it to my own for putting it on Reddit, and I forget exactly where it all started, but yeah, someone told me, like, yeah, I'd already made it to YouTube. I was like, that was fast. But I ended up linking the uploaded one to the Reddit link that I had put up with the build log, which one of the nice touches was that Andy wrote a nice message on the build log saying, you know, he's got a lot of really cool Halo stuff, as you can imagine, in his house, but the Barba helmet's definitely his favorite, since it's one of a kind and very, you know, uniquely crafted for him, but it just says it's one of the coolest things he's got in his room now, or in his place.
I mean, you've got a single piece of Halo gear that is one of a kind. That's exactly not something that you're going to easily trump. I think you guys have probably secured the number one spot in whatever Andy collects in Halo from now on.
Ironically, I got a number of messages, and almost 100 messages in the coming days of people saying, you know, would you make me a Barva helmet? And while I did, out of the deal, keep the molds, I decided that I was not going to make any more. I didn't want to ruin the magic by circulating a bunch of Barva helmets out there. I think there's only 3 in existence right now, and the other two, one of them lives at my house, and the other one lives with Sean Thorson, and that he kept around as a kind of a demo piece, since he's got the video coming out of how we molded it.
Yeah, and probably for like a portfolio piece.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, as much as people would want the helmet, and even if they offered money for it, I just think that it's just not really right. I think it deserves to be its own thing, and that Andy gets to keep, you know, the special one.
It deserves to have some magic behind it.
Yeah.
No, definitely.
Did you get Andy's head size beforehand from 343, or did you guess? How'd you make sure it would fit him well without going overboard on space?
The unfortunate admittance to a lot of this stuff is that we do a whole lot of guesstimation, and having met Andy a number of times, the conversation went along the lines of, hey, you've got a bigger head than Andy does, right? Yeah, probably. Well, size it to your head then. So we ended up sizing it to a head that was one of a gentleman in our group that has got a pretty large dome, and decided that if it was a little bit bulky, he could always add padding to it. But if it didn't fit in his head, then that's where we're going to have a problem. So by design, we essentially made it a little bit too big than we thought. We're usually pretty good at guessing helmet sizes. And this one, we wanted to make sure that it was, we would have rather had it be too big than too small. And he might have even made it too big, because if you watch the video of him putting it on, he manages to fit it over his hat even. So there's definitely some room in there. So we did a good job of making sure it fit, but we definitely went a little overboard on oversizing it to make sure it went on his head.
Well, like you said, bigger is probably better than smaller in the case of making the helmet. So I'm exactly. Not sure he still enjoys it, and I wonder how often he wears it.
He did say he was going to wear it, you know, anytime he was around the house, but we'll see if that... I'll ask him next time I see him.
It's all right. GT, do you have any questions? I know I'm kind of still in the limelight here a little bit.
No.
Okay, then.
Got it all covered.
No, I just... Do you have any current Halo projects that you're working on, or... Is
we do, actually.
Not to be discussed right now.
We've got one going right now. We are filming. I don't actually know the legality wise of how much information I can divulge, but we are partaking in a sort of a short film taking place this weekend that we're filming. Once I get some kind of green light to share the information for it, I'd be more than happy to show you guys. But anytime that we are on screen with our costumes, it's been pretty fun. So hopefully you guys will enjoy it. But I just got a script for it yesterday. It's going to be a pretty short little snippet thing, but some filmmakers that are coming out for it got in touch with myself and Ben and said, you know, how many people can you corral for, you know, a day or two of shooting? And unfortunately, it's right before E3, so if we ruin our suits during filming, we're going to be showing up to E3 with some pretty broke suits, but they can deal with it.
It's not broke, it's just battle damaged.
Yeah, unfortunately, almost every one of our 22 Halo suits that went out for the red versus blue shoot came back destroyed. My shotgun broke in half. My meal suit got some pretty bad damage to it, and there was a lot of duct tape used on set. But at the same time, now I've got a pretty cool screen used prop. As far as building new things, the only new thing that I've been working on is trying to swindle Ben to give me a copy of his railgun in exchange for the extra saw that I have in my closet right now. I managed to get a few copies of it on my last day working at Sean Thorson's shop. I think he's got really good molds of the saw machine gun, and I've got one really good one that was in the red versus blue shoot, and then a second one that needs a paint job. But Ben's got two railguns, and I've got two saws, so I figured we should trade.
Nice.
Sounds like fair trade to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you say whether or not the project that you're working on, is it specifically a Halo project, or is it something that's outside the realm of the Halo community?
It is Halo related. I don't think that it would be a problem to disclose that it is title characters and involving the lore, I would say, is the best way to put it. Definitely don't know how much they're trying to keep it under wraps, but I guess for the sake of, you know, being safe, I shouldn't talk too much about it, but it's a cool script. It's got some fun moments in it, and it looks like it's short and sweet, and hopefully it'll all turn out good.
Cool. Do you personally enjoy doing helmets or armor or weapons more? What's kind of your, like, if you had to pick something that you would want to make, what's the kind of cosplay items that you would prefer to make the most?
I think it definitely depends on if I'm making it for myself or for just in general. Weapons are always nice since they're kind of universal. You know, I've got a couple pistols, a shotgun, and an assault rifle and stuff, and anyone can really use them. But when it comes to helmet or armor, you know, the thing is sized pretty much explicitly just to fit me. So if I'm making things for myself, I think helmets are kind of cool because they're always happen to be kind of the centerpiece, especially in the case of the Emil costume. I think the skull face thing is very cool and unique and happened to be the most complicated part of the entire suit. You know, we're always the most proud of our helmets, it seems like, which is why I tell people if they're making their own costumes to do the helmet last, because they'll get all the making costume problems out of the way by the time to get to their favorite part, which is usually what people start with. They're always like, I'm gonna make Master Chief, and they start with the helmet and it comes out like garbage, and then by the time they work their way down to the feet, they've got perfect pristine boots, but their helmet looks like garbage. So I always tell people to work backwards. I'm like, start with something unimportant if this is your first time and you're working out the kinks. And that was luckily the one thing I had foresight into when I started my ODST project, which happened to be my first Halo costume, is that I started with some belt pieces and I started with a chest piece, and I found out that I was really bad at sizing things, and I made a chest piece that was so small that I and JP did the same thing, and we eventually just tied them together and made a ODST coconut bikini kind of looking thing because they were tiny. So lesson learned. And so yeah, to answer your question, sorry, I got a little off track, but I would say helmets are a really cool centerpiece. You know, they always finish off a costume perfectly. But if I'm making things for other people, weapons are always fun. Throw them around. Everyone can use them, trade them around. But helmets are definitely the most unique.
That's awesome. I really don't have any more questions regarding the Barva helmet. I think a lot of the stuff has already been covered in the build log. And I know you said there's some videos coming about it. But is there anything in particular about the helmet that not many people know about that you feel like you need to share or that you'd like to share and get out there?
something that I'm kind of embarrassed to admit to is that I actually spent a lot of money making this helmet. The when we decided that we wanted to make it kind of the right way, which is using, you know, the right 3D print, the right silicone, the right resin and stuff, it ended up going over budget by a little bit when I started pricing out how much silicone I would need, how much resin I would need, and how much fiberglass I would need. By the end of it, I spent a couple $100 on it, which was, you know, for any project for a prop maker that doesn't have any actual budget or any income on it based on it, you try not to spend too much. But I think it was more of a reflection of how much I appreciated how much Andy did for us. So, you know, every dollar I spent was well spent on it, because I think it came out as good as it's going to come out. And I think he appreciated the craft that went into it.
I think that can be said for just about anybody in your position that's willing to go through the time and the resources and the hours that it takes to make something like this, or just the armor or the weapons, just basically the whole 405th and any other Halo cosplayers, just putting the time into it.
Yeah, I got a kick out of when Andy read the build log and then kind of messaged me afterwards. He's like, I honestly had no idea what was involved going into this. And granted, the way we made that helmet is kind of one of the more professional, and I hate to say the word, but like professional ways to do it. Most of our costumes, for instance, are made out of foam or something a little bit, you know, lower quality. But this is like really how people do the kind of helmets for movies and stuff. It's the exact same, you know, silicone and resin and stuff that I've been using at work. And it's high quality stuff, but we figured Andy deserved the best, and he was going to get the best.
Well, you guys definitely delivered. I think his reaction says it all.
I was pleased that he was so smitten by it. You know, I up until that point, you know, I had basically just known that he would chime in on Reddit and kind of say how much he, you know, kind of appreciated the Barbo sketches and stuff. So didn't have a whole lot to go off of. I was like, I don't know, like, I'm not sure how psyched he'll be on the Barba helmet. And that was just kind of, you know, maybe underplaying like how cool I thought it was. I'm like, if I was him, of course I'd think it's awesome that someone made a helmet that was, you know, basically modeled after me. But I was a little worried he'd be like, oh, this is cool. You know, I think I've seen this on the internet before. Hopefully that wasn't the case. And he, you know, was very familiar with it and just loved it. So very, very fairy tale-ish, where everything worked out perfectly.
Yeah, that's awesome. You guys did a really good job with it. I can definitely tell the craftsmanship and the dedication that went into it. So, applause is all around.
I appreciate it. Thank you. And I know Jeremy, Sean, and Jose would also like to thank you, since they definitely lended a very important hand in making sure the thing got finished. Not only on time, but in such good detail.
I know Jeremy and Jose from hanging around the 405th a lot, so...
Yeah, they're great. They're just so much fun. And I'm glad that Jose is down in the LA area, where I can see him more often than the conventions that we happen to show up to together. So, seen a couple times since I've been down here, and, you know, he's a great guy. And hopefully he gets to hear this podcast and hear his work appreciated.
And I think you and me have crossed paths before a couple of times.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I remember the Halo Championship was definitely, I think, the last time I saw you. And I think before that, I'd seen you at a couple of the conventions and stuff, so... Always good to see someone that is not only is invested into the Halo franchise as we are, but that can, you know, appreciate the fun stuff that we get to do, and hopefully we get to keep doing it for a long time.
That's one of the reasons why I love the Halo community so freaking much, is just stuff like this.
Unique to it. I mean, I don't know if it's just because the universe is so unique, but, you know, there's not like, you don't see a whole lot of like Call of Duty meetups or anything.
Well, it blends so well into just everyday modern military outfit, whereas Halo just kind of sticks out as like, okay, this is kind of unique in a sense of this is the futuristic armor that people are accustomed to seeing associated with the sci-fi shooter Halo.
Yeah, definitely. And something too that I should have mentioned too is that it's kind of funny is that we were just at a wedding just last weekend, actually, and a majority of us realized that we had only met through the Halo costuming photo shoots and had actually become pretty good friends now. And it was like, you know, like 12 of us that were like, how did we all meet? Oh yeah, we all met at a photo shoot one day. We're all wearing Halo suits. So going back to the kind of, you know, the cool community, it's nice that not only made a lot of, you know, convention or costuming friends, but a lot of actual long-term life friends now too.
I would agree with that.
Good stuff.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show and talking about the Barfly helmet. I know it's something that the community has been very interested in for a while. And now that we actually have the Barfly helmet, people were just, well, when it first came out, people kind of flipped out about it. And then when we actually saw it in person, people flipped out about it again, including Andy. So it's just awesome to see the production of it and see the end product. And again, I just applaud you guys on the wonderful work that you did. And I'm sure that the whole community was really not necessarily inspired, but just
tickled by it.
Yeah, there you go. I'm not sure what word I'm looking for there, but I'm looking for something. Yeah, you guys did a wonderful job on it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, and I love talking about the stuff, and I hope it inspires people, because that's actually most of the reason we do any of the panels where we talk about making the costumes, is that I never knew that I wanted to make it until I made my first Halo costume, and now I'm kind of doing it for a job, so it was not only gave me a lot of fun and convention experiences, but a little bit of life direction, too, and so we implore people to try it, even if they don't think they can do it, because I didn't think I could do it, and now it's my job.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm hoping to at some point make a build. I'm not sure what I want to do it on, but it'll probably be pretty close to Master Chief if I do.
It's a big time commitment, but at the same time, if you can, I would almost implore people to do it the opposite than I did it, where I just set aside like 3 months and like worked away like endlessly. My meal suit, for instance, I did over a year and a half and just kind of worked on it when I could, which was it helped me keep my sanity and kind of made sure I didn't go off the deep end as far as spending, losing my life in this thing. So, it's a little bit easier to just pick it up and put it down. Or if you're in a position to be able to do that, it makes it a lot less of a daunting task. And you can kind of get into a rhythm sometimes. And, as long as you're able to pick it up and put it down whenever you want, then it hopefully won't, A, cost you an arm and a leg, and B, won't mean you don't see any of your friends because you're busy toiling away in your garage all day.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, where can people check you out and find more of your work or get in touch with you, that kind of stuff?
So the best place to go for the stuff that I make and my brother make, our Instagram is probably our most active social media platform. Our handle is Starside_Armory, and you can see all the silly things we've made and some of the cool stuff we've made and some of the projects we've been able to be a part of that we're allowed to divulge. So, and there's a lot of pictures on there of like behind the scenes from the Red vs. Blue shoot, a couple behind the scenes from the Con Man TV series that I wore my ODST suit on and stuff. So definitely the Instagram is the most active. Our Facebook page is where we put all our big updates and stuff. So those two are most prominent right now.
Okay. And then how about, do you want to divulge your Twitter or...
Yeah, I don't post too often on there, but if you guys, kind of the same thing, I just post kind of major updates on there, but Twitter handle is at Einhander, EINHANDER, M as in Mike, K as in Kilo, and the number 2, and I don't know why I picked such a long and complicated one, but younger Carrie was not very wise.
No worries. Okay. So, again, make sure you check them out. And again, thank you, Carrie, so much for taking time out of your day to come talk to us and give us a little bit more insight behind the Barbo helmet. If you guys haven't checked it out, just search Barbo helmet on Reddit or YouTube and you'll find the video of Carrie giving Bravo the helmet, which I was kind of sad I wasn't there in person because Ben was talking to me about and trying to plan when to actually show it to him, because Andy was running around all weekend trying to help coordinate things with the tournament and everything. And I was going back and forth trying to get pictures of what was going on in main stage and then 405th guys, and I was kind of going back and forth, so I was kind of sad that I missed it.
Oh man, I'm sorry you missed the actual reveal, but hopefully there will be more cool 343 reveals that we get to be a part of then. Not hoping that it'll necessarily trump the Marvel reveal, but hopefully there'll be some more cool stuff you can be a part of.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be.
Yeah, sounds good.
So you can check us out on our social media. We are on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, Twitch, Mixer now. We have our Achieving Halo series, like GT said earlier, Our next episode should be out this weekend for reunion. So we're almost at the halfway mark there. Then we should have the next episode after that for St. Helios out at least within the next couple of weeks. So make sure you check that out on YouTube. Make sure you check us out on Twitch, where we record our podcast live at 9 o'clock on Tuesdays Eastern Time. And then we have our Fragment Fridays hosted by Godzilla T over on Fridays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Lobby's choice, typically, whether it's Warzone or Arena or Customs, any of that kind of stuff. GT helps run that, and he's been doing that for a long time, so if you're looking for something to do on a Friday night, then definitely encourage you to check that out. Anything to add to that, GT?
Yeah, if there's any suggestions you guys want for a game night, be sure to let me know. You can hit me up on Xbox Live at Godzilla Space T, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Godzilla Todd. And I am looking for people to run the Achieving Halo series with. So if you're interested in that, you can also message me there. Message me on that. That's all I got. Pretty short list for me tonight.
Yeah, no worries. An update on our Spartan Company commendations. We are still 9 out of 31 to get the Achilles helmet. Our closest one is No Hard Feelings, which is Kill Enemy Spartans. We are currently at almost 378,000 kills out of 486,000 needed. So we are just under 92,000. We're just over 92,000 that we need for that one. Then our lowest one is still the one that's probably going to take forever to get. Kill the driver of a moving enemy vehicle while using a sniper rifle. That's forget to pay the toll. So that's a quick update on our Spartan company. We have 6 slots available for our company. So if you are interested in helping us get Achilles, or if you're looking for some people to run with to get the Achilles helmet, if you haven't gotten it yet, then hit us up on our Spartan company. You can head over to podtaggler.com/company. And that will redirect you to the Halo Waypoint company page where you can request to enlist. The last loot crate for the first year of the Halo Legendary crate has a deadline of the 15th of June for you to purchase your crate. That's 9 days away. So from the time you're hearing this, is probably about a week. Again, the 15th is a Thursday, and it'll actually be Thursday night at midnight, or Friday morning at midnight, depending on how you look at it. This is the last crate that you can get that has the what we think is the first set of Halo Icons figures. We don't know if there's going to be another set for the next following year, but as far as we know, the Halo Legendary crate is going to be continuing, so it's not just the year thing, it's going to keep on going. And you can head on over to lootcrate.com/podtackler. And then when you check out, use promo code podtackler for $3 off of your crate. There's also Halo Warfleet, and we talked about it a little bit earlier before with regards to the Halo Starships Reddit post. You can head on over to podtackler.com/warfleet, and that will take you over to the Amazon page, which I believe it's still listed for like a third off of the retail price. And the nice thing about Amazon is if you pre-order it, if the price goes down, then your price goes down as well. If the price goes up, then you're locked in with the lowest price that was available to you during your pre-order time of the book. If you're interested in the ships of Halo, then this is definitely going to be a resource that you want. So I would definitely recommend you go check out the book and pre-order it on Amazon. Also, make sure you check out our podcast network. We are part of a group of gaming specific podcasts over on thepodcast.com, which include podcasts like Critzcast, which is a TF2 podcast, Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast. You have The Learning Cliff, which is an EVE Online podcast. Podcast 76, which is an Overwatch podcast. And How to Murder Time. How to Murder Time has been doing a Minecraft series recently, so that's kind of where it's been focused on. But you can head on over to thepodcast.com to find about the podcasts over on the network. Carrie, thanks again so much for being on the show. We really appreciate the discussion around the Barba helmet.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Hope to see you around. I'm sure we'll see you around at conventions and...
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we'll see you return to the podcast at some future time as well.
Looking forward to it anytime, guys.
Awesome. So thanks, everyone, for tuning into the podcast this week. We will be back next week. Same time, same place. And as always, keep on fragging Barbos.